Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. You can find us on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS, the podcast at all your listening platforms. If you can rate and review, be much appreciated. And we are on YouTube, so go check us out over there. Hit the old like button. Help us get those numbers back up. That'd be a lot of fun as well. Also, you can find me on Twitter at BDNJick. We're down to two tonight. We'll have Kevin back next week, I believe, if not the week after. But it's myself and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. Yep. Excited for the Valero Texas Open here.
The Valero Texas Open. We had the WGC, where it seemed like every top-ranked golfer went home early, which was pretty freaking impressive. The rules were a little not to our likings, but maybe it's because we had some bias involved there as well.
Yeah.
But overall, what'd you think? Like, Scheffler did his thing, but... personally, I like seeing, you know, parity involved. At the same time, I lost some normalcy with my parity.
Yeah, it was tilting. I think only like maybe six lineups or something got four, that like the final four correct, which, you know, in the big GPP on DraftKings. So they, when I say they had a final four correct, they had four golfers left in the final four, which is pretty amazing. But especially with all the just insanity that went on, you know, the highest guy to get out of was John Rahm. He got out of his pod and then immediately lost, right? I love watching match play, man.
Well, and Rahm so different playoff to get in too.
Yeah, that was the only thing that kind of like was irking us, obviously, too, because we were on the wrong side of those one or two or three hole playoffs with Answer. I think Kisner was another guy who got bounced in a playoff or whatever. DJ, did he even make the playoff?
I don't think so. Kevin Na got him.
Kevin Na beat him. Let's talk about that for just a second. Did you see that?
Oh, how did you miss that? Yeah, that was everywhere. The foot, like the pictures of him, his hand on his shoulder, showing him the foot differential. Yeah, DJ.
You know, I mean, so
he kept his composure.
Kevin Na's in the right, obviously, right? Like he needs to give putts, right? But it's also a fucking 1 foot putt. It's a 1 foot putt. You know, I mean, like DJ just goes up there and rakes it. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I mean, and if you have an issue with that, like, don't pull him back onto the green and make a big spectacle about it. Like, just walk, like, when you're walking up, like, hey, DJ, what's up, man? Hey, just make sure I, you know, give you those putts. Like, I'm going to give it to you. But, like, don't go to him and be like, you need to wait till I give it to you. I'm going to give it to you, but
yeah,
you got, I mean, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, it just irks me. And he played like shit after that.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Kevin Na, like, I like rooting for the guy, but shit like that makes it very difficult. Yeah. Like, you got to pick your points to fight stuff like that, especially in match play. And I get part of it because match play, you want to get in your competitor's head. That's part of it. But it was late in the round. Like, it really, yeah, not much. The other part about Na that people got tilted on the Twitter, when he's walking in his putt to win it, honestly, the walking the putt thing, it doesn't bug me anymore. Does it bug you at all?
No, I don't care.
I think it's almost just second nature for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like his stick or whatever, stitch or whatever. It's yeah, I mean, it's fine, whatever.
So is Cooch back?
that's a great fucking question. So he got a new, he did get a new putter. Obviously played really well. Yeah. But, you know, he's playing well tee to green, too. And I don't know, really, I've not delved into why Cooch has been so terrible over the last year. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, he's priced up pretty good this week. And then, you know, he's going to be at the Masters. And he's got some pretty good finishes there in the past. And used to be an automatic play backdoor top 10. You remember those a couple years ago? It was like just, you didn't play Cooch. You were tilting him on Sunday because he was going low and back to our top 10. And if you did play him, you know, you were really happy about it. But yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know. Like, 1 week, obviously, if it was a stroke play tournament, I'd feel a little bit better. But match play, it kind of makes me think, like, you know, it was a bit of a fluke. But well, I guess we'll see this week.
Yeah, the match play part's different. We talked about it even last week. Like, you can have a bad hole and it doesn't bug you. Your approach to every hole is different. Like, we kind of talked about it last week, but we should have talked about it more. I think, like, it's always Captain Hindsight. But not even just Scheffler being from the area, going to school in Austin, all that stuff.
I'm with you.
For a dude that we know attacks every hole for a birdie, never plays it safe. Like, he'll go have an eight. Remember, we were so tilted the week he went eight over and then eight under the next day. Because the dude can go on runs. That's perfect for match play. Like, I'm sitting there the whole week and just kind of pissed off at myself, going like, dude, this is the perfect guy to play. But yeah, it's just one of those deals that next year we probably play him and he goes 0-3 and never makes it out of the first round.
Right. So, well, the Texas narrative was like really in play. Jordan played pretty well and then obviously got beat out in a playoff or whatever.
Sergio's a Texas boy.
Sergio.
Answer's a Texas guy. Should have been through. Yep. Yeah, so
totally forgot about Sergio. He actually got through.
He's a native Texan now, basically. No, it's fun. Sergio won the walk off against Lee Westwood in the playoffs.
Yeah, dude, that was awesome. That hole in one. That was, I mean,
I love Lee Westwood. Like, he's fun just to watch on TV because you can tell he's just having fun and doesn't really care. But literally on Twitter, he just sits there and quote tweets like the hole in one goes, "I played a lot of golf and thought I've seen it all."
It's like, how many times have you ever seen a hole in one? I tweeted that, and then apparently Jonathan Bird had one back in 2010. Some website or some Twitter account from Penn State tweeted me that randomly. So I don't know how they found my tweet, but either way,
they're searching you. You're on their list. Yeah, that's why I commented on your thing. I said, I just like a hole in one, period.
Just one.
And then Kevin had what, five?
I don't know how many he said. It doesn't fucking matter. He's an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's not on the show tonight. He got punished. No, I'm just kidding. But it was fun. Like, I love match play. We talked about how much you said it already. Match play is awesome. It's such a different animal. And do you wish they had more match play tournaments?
I do. I mean, I don't, for DFS purposes, it's terrible.
Yeah, it sucks for DFS.
But it's a lot of fun to watch on TV.
Yeah, I love it. And it is the thing. You kind of hinted at it last week, and then I saw people tweeting it come like Saturday when there's only four golfers out there, or even four groups out there. Like, how do we not have a four-way screen with like everything going on? Because we don't need to see all the other bullshit. But
yeah,
that's what we should expect by now.
TV coverage was rough on Sunday, you know, Sunday afternoon especially, but. Yeah. You know, it was really fun to watch on Saturday. Saturday morning, all day. You know, that it was a good time.
And then I could probably think of a bunch of things. I watched a lot Thursday and Friday, a little bit Saturday, but I loved Bubba Watson's interview on Friday after he won the playoff. Did you hear any of that?
No, I didn't.
So he's getting interviewed and he's being nice old Bubba. Then I said, "Hey, Bubba, how do you like match play?" And he's like, "It's fun and all, but I kind of don't like it because, you know, you're competing against guys you respect and everything. And you have that killer instinct and it's hard sometimes and everything." He's like, "Oh, really? Really? Is that how it is?" Well, most of the time, but like, when I teed off against Patrick Reed on the first hole, Pat looked at me and said, "Hey, I hope we're still friends after this." And Bubba goes, "We're friends?"
I did see that, actually, yes.
I thought that was good. I couldn't tell if Bubba was joking or not. That's the funny part. Yeah, so that was pretty good.
I did hear about that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then the last thing we'll talk about, the Punta Cana, Corrales Punta Cana took place. And fan favorite, I know we like him and a lot of people. If you like golf, you like Joel Dahman and his caddy Gino. Like, they are two, A, great Twitter presences, B, just awesome looking dudes. Like, I've said it before, there's like, it's hard to pick just four active golfers, but if I could, like, he'd be one of the four I'd want to go play a round of golf with, because it'd just be not a care in the world. Like, it'd be freaking awesome. It was fun watching him win and how much it actually meant to him. So,
yeah.
Any thoughts on all that?
Yeah, that was great. That was one of the best reactions to a win I think we've ever seen. Did you see Campos's putt?
Yes. We call that the prom date at my golf course. Buddy. But that was tough.
I mean, he was halfway to a just an absolute fist pump ripper Magoo, and yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, then it wasn't PGA Tour, I don't think. Maybe it was, but I saw one site, they did like the four way angles of it, of his reaction, and it got worse every time watching him just fall to his knees. And yeah, like, there was multiple people crying on the green, and it wasn't just because they won. So. But hey, it got him into Valero, the Valero Texas Open, the 2021 Valero Texas Open. Jesse, we're here. We have a full field, which is great. We have some good golfers. Guys trying to make. I don't think they. I think it's the last event to qualify for the Masters, if I remember correctly.
It is.
This is the one. That's why we have Ricky here in company. So it's a big event for some of these guys. DJ already withdrew a couple hours before recording. That kind of bummed me out because I was looking forward to the whole. He's pissed off at Kevin non-narrative. Let me go torch a field. That was kind of fun. But what do you have on past event history here?
So obviously didn't play this last year. It was canceled due to COVID. 2019, Corey Connors Monday qualified and then won the tournament and then got into the Masters and then got his 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour and so on and so forth. Pretty incredible story. Just real quick, do you know who Monday qualified today?
Enlighten me.
At least one of the guys. JJ Killeen, West Texas driving range pro.
Is this like our 10 cup moment?
I hope so.
Yes, I think we've talked about him before. The one that's on Twitter as Texas driving range pro?
His Twitter game is really strong.
It is very
funny
strong.
Guy. Mm-hmm. He's a past, I think he won the Corn Ferry before it was the Corn Ferry, like won the whole entire year or whatever. And anyways, fun story, really.
How much
cool.
is he on DK is the real question.
Yeah, I mean, he's not. They'll add him in tomorrow, but I'm sure I'll 6K. Be like, yeah, min price, but yeah. Just want to throw that out there. Awesome. Andrew Landry, 17 under, 2018 champion, two shots over Trey Mullinax and Sean O'Hare. Going back to Corey Connors, he shot 20 under that year. He won by two shots over Charlie Hoffman. 2017 champion was Kevin Chappell, 12 under, one shot over Brooks Koepka. 2016 champion was Charlie Hoffman. Have you seen Charlie Hoffman's tweet today with his shirt?
Not today, no. I missed it.
He's got a shirt that's got the Texas flag, and it kind of looks like the Texas Open symbol, and it's the Charlie Hoffman Open, and it's got how much money he's made at this tournament over the years. It's like $3.7 million.
Jesus Christ. Why would you wear a shirt like that? Why?
I mean, it's the Charlie Hoffman Open. 12 under, one shot over Patrick Reed that year. Jimmy Walker was the 2015 champion, 11 under, four shots over Jordan Spieth. Stephen Bowditch, past winner here. Adam Scott, not in the field. Brendan Steele, in the field, has won this before. Ben Curtis, won this before. Martin Laird, won this before. Zach Johnson, back-to-back winner back in 2008-2009. And that pretty much does it.
Yeah, it's quite the group, to say the least. And it's usually a decent scoring event, very tough golf course. Wind is a big factor, as we know. And a couple of years ago, it was like the biggest wave differential we've ever seen, 4 to 5 stroke wave differential. in the morning and afternoon.
Oh yeah.
Dire Work was in the chat first thing this morning with this. So he says it already looks like we have a PM AM wave starting up. Keep an eye on it. Could change, but it looks like 25 mile an hour plus wind starting Thursday morning, dies off later in the day, and then looks good Friday. So that could be interesting. The course is pretty wide open, so that's why wind becomes a factor. It's a par 72, 7,435 yard golf course, TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course. So, lots of strategic play in there, Bermuda greens. And the thing is that when it gets, it's not going to be super hot, but it gets warm, and then you get the wind, it dries things out. So you get rolling the fairway, but that also means the greens harden the F up. So it gets, that's what got these guys in the waves thing. It's not just the wind to get you to the green. They couldn't hold the ball on the green. And so it got very, very bad. So something to keep in mind there as we get closer and closer to Thursday. But it's a shot maker's golf course. It's a good approach game. It's going to be very, very important here. You can hit it a long way and have some success, but it's more important to have the good 175-ish range in on most of these holes. But all in all, I think recent form is going to be huge. Course history will matter, but there's not a ton of guys here. And it's been a few years that have a ton of course history. We have some, but not a ton. But I think recent form and maybe the Texas narrative comes into play big time again this week, especially if it's going to be windy. That Texas wind, we've seen it time and time again. These boys can play in it. So something to keep in mind as well. What stats you looking at?
Yeah, big fan of guys who hit it well off the tee, hit it good into the green, and then make putts this week.
So good golfers. I believe they call that approach tee to golf shots.
Tee to green. No, I'm just kidding, man. This is kind of a bit of a resort course. So I mean, you got to look at birdie or better if you're waiting, that kind of thing. Plenty of course history. So. I do weight accuracy more than distance here. I don't think distance is like the end of the world type of thing.
Yeah, distance is not. You just want to keep it in the fairway. You want to do that anytime, but you really want to here. And it's definitely a resort course. Like if it's not windy, you're seeing 15 under or better wind, like you were saying. If it gets windy, it could get interesting. But if it's just Thursday, if they can do Friday, Saturday, Sunday pretty clear, there's still going to be a lot of birdies, like you said. So definitely something to keep in mind. Looking at fanshare.sports.com, code always press gets you 25% off the package of your choice. A couple things to look at. Last six events, DK scoring leaders, Finau, Palmer, Spieth, Connors, Lashley in this field. It drops off very quickly on the names you would think of after that. So let me just put it that way. That shows you the strength of the field real quick. When you're looking at the last six events on Bermuda greens when it comes to DraftKings scoring, it sucks. Dustin Johnson led all of these, by the way, but he's not here anymore. Brendan Steele, Ryan Palmer, he's a Texas boy. Siwoo Kim, Abraham Anser, Tony Finau, Corey Connors. This course is it's mainly a Greg Norman course, but Pete Dye has a little piece of the action here, so that's maybe why Siwoo enjoys it. And then the last six events, par 72, 7,400 or longer, what this course is. Chase Seifert, Tony Finau, Charlie Hoffman, DJ, Ryan Moore, Pete Malnati, and Keegan Bradley. So just looking at that alone tells me it's going to be a fun freaking event here. So with all that being said, let's check out the DK picks for the week. Jesse, 10K and above, Finau at 11,000, Spieth 10.7, Scheffler 10.4, Hideki Matsuyama 10.1. What do you like in here?
So the only guy I probably play and most likely will play is Jordan Spieth for obvious reasons. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, but in Texas boy, 30th here in 2019, second in 2015, 10th in 2014, missed cut in 13, 41st in 2012. And then, coming off a Players Championship where he played okay. And I thought he played pretty good last week at the match play, but obviously didn't make it out of there. I think Scheffler will be super popular. One thing we didn't talk about in the kind of longer than normal recap we did was the fact that Scheffler looked burnt out Sunday afternoon. I don't know how much you saw.
I saw the highlights. Yeah, he looked pretty rough.
I mean, he was hitting it all over the place, hitting it intense, getting drops after he hits it intense multiple times. And so, I think he'll be popular. Just is something to think about. Tony Finau, obviously, at 11,000. It's a big price on him, but can he win? Maybe. I don't know. Jordan Spieth for me up here, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard not to play Spieth, which is just insane for me to say for people that listen to the show regularly. But I've been on him the last couple of weeks. I'm late to the party. Jesse's been there for a while. I'm late to the party. But he's playing great. He can play in Texas. I'm not worried about that. I do like Finau at 11,000. I don't hate it. It's intriguing. He's played well here, second place in 2017. Spieth is a second back in 2015. So those would be the two main guys for me. I can't trust Matsuyama as far as I can throw him right now. He's just so all over the place, and it's his first time here. Scheffler, it's interesting because I want to see the ownership. It's quite the price bump for him. You mentioned how he looked pretty drained. It's a lot of golf, seven rounds of golf in 4 days. It's taxing. And he wasn't having a lot of quick rounds either. He was going deep into each 18.
Yeah, so, and he's not fast. He's not a fast player.
No, and he's a bigger boy, so I understand that's going to wear on you after a while. So it's something to keep in mind. But if he comes in low-owned, if you're making multiple lineups, you got to think about it. But Spieth's the man I look at as well if I'm coming up here. But when the next name I mention – it's going to make it hard to get to Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
The 9K range. Abe Anser, my boy, I'm not quitting you. He's 9,700. Corey Connors, the defending champion, 95. Ryan Palmer, 94. Tringali is on fire right now at 93. You got Hoffman, 92. Brendan Steele, 91. Steele popped on a lot of the fanshare stuff. And they got Kuchar with the price bump up to 9,000. This is why it's going to be tough to get to 10K. So what do you like here?
Yeah, there's a lot to like in this 9K range. I'll leave Anser up to you, but you know I don't mind him at all. Connor's obviously the defending champion, 9,500. He also finished 26th the year before he won, coming off two straight top tens, and he's like not like shit filled top tens either. Arnold Palmer third, Players Championship seventh. He did miss the cut to Genesis, which was on the West Coast, whatever. Before that, was just playing really well. You know, the guy's just hitting it insanely well at this point. So Corey Connors, 9,500, like him quite a bit. Palmer, if you want to play the Texas narrative, he has missed the cut the last 2 years out here, but before that he was sixth in consecutive years. So pretty good. He's playing very well as well at this point. Like you said, Tringali playing well. His course history is okay. 17th missed cut the last 3 years here. 13th at the Honda, did miss the cut at the Players, whatever. Was playing really well before that. Like I was talking about before in the Open, you know, Charlie Hoffman Open. I mean, I don't know if he's missed a cut in 15 appearances here. Apparently, he's 15 for 15, I think. Past winner, second place here last year. He played better than what it showed last week. He was in the mix to, you know, kind of contend on Sunday. Shoot 77, and he actually made a quadruple bogey on the 18th hole. So that pushed him all the way back to 34th. So it's not going to look as good as it maybe should have. It should have at least been a top 20, I believe, for him. And that would have been three straight top 20s as it is, you know, two of the last three top 20s. So I think Charlie's going to be popular. But either way, I'm just going to put Kuch on my radar this week. I don't know if I'm going to play him. I'm just going to kind of watch and see. His course history is great. 7th, 51st, 40th, 42nd, 15th, 4th, 22nd. And hasn't missed a cut here since 2013. Been playing like shit before last week, though. So, did he fix it? Is it the putter? I don't know. I like a lot of these guys in this range.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like Anser, I'm going to go right back to when it comes to ball striking, approach game, irons, whatever you want to call it. Anser is outstanding. And, you know, 42nd, 58th, 42nd here, not the greatest of finishes, but that was back in 16, 18, and 19. I think we've seen a much different Abe Anser since then. I think we can all agree upon that. He should have made it to the weekend. But they're the bogus rules they have in the match play playoffs. He finished 18th overall. He's 18th, 22nd, 18th his last three events. That's pretty darn good on some tough golf courses. The match play, the Players, and the Concession. Like, that's really good stuff. Texas boy, I'll be going right back to Abe Anser, hopefully for low ownership here because of maybe the 10K guys, or, you know, maybe people going to Corey Connors because of his course history, or Charlie Hoffman. Along those lines, like, I am not playing a chalky Charlie Hoffman. I apologize right now. It is not happening. But I will play Abraham Anser. Ryan Palmer, I like quite a bit, coming in a great form. And then Tringali, I was kind of hesitant at the Honda, but the man's been playing great golf. Like, the Player is an 80th place finish. He missed the cut. You can't really get too mad about that because the Players is just pure carnage. And he bounced back beautifully at the Honda, playing great golf. He's going to come in low owned, most likely, I would think, at $9,300. So that's something to watch. And then Brendan Steele at 91, like, A, it shows the the strength of the field, I guess. But third at the Honda, 41st players, 18th API, and made some more cuts prior to that. Really good course history here. He's made at least five straight cuts. That's as far back as my stuff goes here. I don't mind Brendan Steele either. So, like, Answer, I love Palmer, and then Tringali and Steele. Like, those four, I'd play the ownership game on, but Answer is my guy for sure. But I think there's some different leverage plays in this loaded 9K range. 8K range here. You got Siwoo Kim at 89, Cam Davis 88, Lanto 87, Kirk 86, ZJ 85, Bradley 84, who's popping in models apparently, Adam Hadwin 83, and Joel Dahman, who is going to be hung over at $8,200. Well, he's very hung over on Monday. We know that already, but we'll see how Thursday.
I would be surprised if he doesn't
WD. I figured he'd WD, but he only made $540,000.
The other thing is he's not in the Masters just because he won that. You know, I mean, that's an auto invite. So
that's true. He needs to keep grinding.
He has more to play for. Yeah.
True. Ricky Fowler at 81, Burns 8K, Wise 8K. Before I get your thoughts on the 8K range, if people are ever bored and you want to go check out the PGA Tour website when they show the listed field, there's a picture of each player golfer by their name. If you've seen the Farmers Insurance Chris Paul commercial where they have the doppelganger basically of Chris Paul, there's a picture of Ricky Fowler with a mustache that looks like it'd be his doppelganger basically, because it does not look like Ricky Fowler. It's kind of scary looking. It's almost like I forget his name now, but the big mustache guy that plays in like the low fields looks just like him. But who do you like in this 8K range? That's a big way of talking about nonsense.
Start with Lanto at 87. He played here in 2018, finished 58th. Had some pretty good finishes recently, 35th, 21st, 22nd. Basically in very strong fields there recently. So I like him. Chris Kirk, his course history is kind of mixed. Miscut 8th, miscut 13th the last 4 years. But playing pretty well at this point, 25th, 48th, 8th in his last three appearances or last three starts on the PGA Tour. Keegan, I think he'll be popular. I mean, obviously, though, if the ball striking's there, and you know, I'm not a huge fan of this range. I think ZJ might be playable too. He, you know, is a past champion back to back here, hasn't missed a cut in forever. Finished 8th at the Honda. You know, did we play ZJ at 85, not a big fan of the bottom of this range, though.
Yeah, it's an interesting range. Like, Siwoo is always GPP viable because you know he can run hot. 4th here last time, 45th, 22nd. So made three straight here, but you never know. Cam Davis always just worries me. Missed the cut here last year. His upside's tremendous, but it seems like he's kind of – I don't know if he kind of hit a wall from playing so much, but if you want to win a GPP, I guess. I'd rather go to Lanto Griffin, another guy that I believe played out of Texas also. So he's another guy to keep an eye on in this conditions. I do think ZJ's in play. He's a great wind player. Finished 5th here back in 2018. I believe 2015 was the bad windy year. He finished 20th that year. He was on the right side of the wave, I heard. But he's interesting as well. But, yeah, other than that, like, I'd love Joel Dahman, but I ain't playing Joel Dahman. I'm not playing Ricky Fowler. Sam Burns, I don't mind. He's another Texas guy at $8,000. He runs hot or cold like we've talked about. Miscut the players, miscut the API, but then 3rd at the Genesis, 39th, 22nd, 18th prior to that. He's taking a couple weeks off now, so Burns at 8K has my attention for a boomer bust type guy. Obviously, just looking at pricing right now, cash does not feel very comfortable so far. I'll be very honest with you there. But let's head to 7K, 7,500 and above. You got Varner, Moore, CH3, Brendan Grace, Wallace, Willett, Munoz, Woodland, Putnam, EVR, Benny Ann, and Phil Mickelson. So what do you like here, Jesse?
I think Ryan Moore is okay. His course history is good. Third and seventh in the last 2 years here. And before that, 18th and 8th. So, I mean, four straight top 20s here. The 8th place finish was in 2012. But either way, it's just hard to play him because he's not great at all. Miscut, 35th, 26th, miscut.
Yeah,
I mean, he's made two of the last six cuts. It's, you know, it's just weird. Brendan Grace, though, at 7,800, 10th and 9th in his last two appearances at the Texas Open. The 10th place finish was in 2017. The year before that was the 9th place finish. Come off a miscut, the players, whatever. Arnold Palmer played pretty well, 26th, won the Puerto Rico Open, so playing pretty well. Danny Willett just rates out highly on my model. I don't know how much I trust this. Never played here. I don't know why he's playing here, because he's in the Masters as a past champion, but eighth place finish last week at the Punta Conta deal there. And then Putnam at 76, a guy that I know you and Kevin have been on in weeks past, 36th, 8th, 72nd in his three appearances at the Texas Open. Did miss the cut at the Players Championship, but before that was 4th and 5th at the Arnold Palmer and the Puerto Rico Open. So pretty solid finishes there for him. I have Phil Mickelson checked off, and I really don't understand why, because I'm not going to play Phil. So I'm just going to go ahead and uncheck that guy right there right now.
Yeah, Phil's one of those guys that if he performs well, I'll say congrats.
Yeah.
I'm not stomaching it because, A, like we know a lot of these guys aren't going to win the thing. We know for a fact – I should never say that, but we have a stronger opinion that Phil will not win this thing.
To be honest with you, I should never have said his name because he's like, it's guaranteed to just tilt me.
Yeah,
he's going to make the cut. He'll probably be top 10 and then finish T59.
He'll go into Sunday top 10 and he'll finish T59 because it'll implode on Sunday. But yeah, for me in this range, HV3 is a guy I haven't been playing a lot of lately, but he's made 3 or 4 cuts here, including 23rd last go around. He's made 4 straight cuts. Yeah, 4 straight cuts. A 19th at the Honda, 61st at the Player, 21st at API, 62nd at Genesis. So that's interesting to me. And Ryan Moore's course history is great. He just isn't playing like the Ryan Moore of old, which is tough to jump on board with. Brendan Grace and Danny Willett, both very appealing to me here. Grace has the good course history. Even Matt Wallace, I guess, because you can go the complete Euro package here. We know Grace and Willett for sure. I'm not 100% on Wallace, but I'd imagine there's something here. We know Grace and Willett play really well in the wind. So if this pops up, I like that their chances a lot here. So keep them in mind if you're looking, if conditions get nasty. Munoz is a Texas guy, but he's just playing some nasty golf right now. I'll pass on that. I don't hate the Putnam call. That is very appealing as well. And somehow Benny Ons played well here, but I'm gonna jump off that train. So yeah, Putnam. The Euro guys, Grace and Willett, are on my radar in HV3. But, yeah, not quite the range I usually enjoy here. But what do you got from 7K to 7,400?
Start with 7,400, Sam Ryder. I was really tilted to see him up the leaderboard. He played really well last week, finished 2nd. And the week before that, the Honda, 8th. So 2 straight top 10s for Sam Ryder. He's made the cut both years he's appeared here. I mean, not great finishes, 42nd and 36th, but – like him. And then Vegas at 74, course history is kind of up and down. 30th miscut, 34th the last 3 years, coming off 18th place finish, over the Dominican. That is in the Dominican Republic, right? Corrales or whatever. Is it in the Dominican Republic?
I want to say yes. Someone will probably tell me I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure yes.
They have I'm pretty sure it is, because they were talking about the actual resort and it's like massive. They got like more than, I don't know, like 54 holes or something of golf there. Anyways, and they have their own private airport too, by the way. But 30th place at the Honda, hasn't missed a cut since the knock on wood Farmers Insurance Open. John Huh, I think he's okay. Course history is kind of up and down, and he might be more popular than really I want to play. Doug Gim, man, going back to him at 73, he's coming off the miscut at the Honda Classic where he was 12% owned at $8,800. Before that, the Players, he was in contention, if everybody remembers, on Saturday, shot 78, but was 3% there. So I think we'll be back to closer to normal range for him. Maybe creeping up on 10, but K.H. Lee at 7,200 and Chase Seifert also at 7,100. I think he's going to be really popular though, because I've already seen, people talking about his approach game, and it's really good right now. 18th, 3rd, 15th in his last 3 starts. He's never played at this golf tournament before, but if you want something, if you want to kind of, I think he's gonna be a little bit more popular than most of these guys down here. So if you're wanting to fade or play or whatever, you gotta figure that out. But that's it.
Yeah, this is a very interesting range. I can make kind of arguments for all, like Johnny Huh, I played a ton. Course history is not great, but maybe the form's still there. I think Johnny Vegas is pretty live here. He's coming in really good form, 18th, 30th, 61st, 2nd at Puerto Rico. So he's playing good golf there, 30th here last year, 30th missed cut, 34th missed cut, 68th. So I like the upside in the GPP, but I like Sam Ryder a lot. I think he'll be popular at 74, but for good reason. he might be some good chalk to bite off on. Gim's always interesting for sure, as you mentioned. Denny McCarthy coming in good form. Miscut 20th here. So he's one of those guys that can putt really well. It's the approach game that's always a question. So if it gets too windy, maybe you don't want any Denny McCarthy. But coming in outstanding for the third at the Honda, always has some GPP appeal as well. KH Lee had a 14th here last go around, but coming in nasty form, so probably not. Other than that, though, Marty Party Laird, you're going to hear a ton. Great course history, 36th, 11th, 18th the last 3 years. A couple made cuts in a row, plays great in the wind, so you're going to hear a lot of him. Harry Higgs making his debut, a Texas guy as well. He says he loves playing in the wind. So, like, Higgs and Seifert, you mentioned Seifert. He popped in the 72 par 72, 7,400-yard plus courses. He was number one in DK scoring over the last six events. So Seifert at 71 checks the boxes for sure. 18th last week at Corrales, third at the Honda, 15th in Puerto Rico. So that could be one to take a peek at as well. It's the strength of the field. You're going to have to just bite some stuff off you don't want to chew, basically. It's just the way it's going to go. And I think Seifert and Higgs bring some nice GPP appeal to them. List withdrew, so I'd stay away from that. Bryce Garnett, no, probably not going there. So, yeah, it's a tough range. It's like the 9K range is a lot of fun, Jesse, and it gets bleak after that, pretty darn bleak. Speaking of bleak, what do you like in the 6K range?
Start up top here with Kevin Chappell.
Checks the boxes.
6,900, 30th, 1st, 4th in his last three starts. He didn't play in 2019, but that was 2018 and back. He played as recently as the Honda Classic and finished 13th, which is pretty amazing at $6,300. I believe he's coming off an injury. So at $6,900 though, when he's playing well, he is not a $6,900 golfer. He's not injured too. Will Gordon at 68, never played here, but has made five straight cuts on tour. Joseph Bramlett, 6,600. Never played here, but did finish 13th at the Dominican Republic. I'm not a huge fan of a whole lot of guys down here, but those are the guys that kind of look good on the model anyways.
Yeah, it's rough. I'm looking here, like Chappell, like checks the boxes and everything you said, but, man, I never stomach playing him very well. But 13th of the Honda, made three straight cuts, four straight cuts, so it's intriguing. I think Adam Shank, 7th and 58th the last 2 years. He's made two straight cuts at Corrales and Honda. He could be interesting. He's a guy we used to ride for a little while. Maybe he finds his form again. Brian Stewart, he's made four or five cuts here. A fourth place last year, 36th the year before. So that could come into play for you. Graham McDowell, 7th, 51st, 27th the last three times here. 4th at Corrales. We know if it does get windy, Graham can play in that just fine. So he kind of becomes a little more appealing at 6,700. And then other, like, everyone's going to say Brent Snedeker because he plays great in the wind. He's got two great finishes here, but he's playing bad golf. So I got that's a hard one to stomach right now because that's a different Brent than the one that played there before. Yeah, other than that, like, I'm just, like, scrolling down to make sure I didn't miss anybody, but it's rough. Like, Bo Hostler, the Texas guy, if you want to go there, but I never Bo Hostler, so that's not good. I would seriously be interested in that Texas driving range pro to see when he comes out, throw a punt there. You got to imagine he's played this course a few times and played in the wind plenty of times.
JJ Killeen.
That's going to be very, very interesting to me, but not a lot here. Like there's like Vincent Whaley's playing great on the Corn Ferry. He's made three straight cuts, 28th at Corrales, 36th at Honda, 15th at Puerto Rico. I played him last week on DK. He's a steady Eddie kind of guy. And it was windier than hell at Corrales at least two of those rounds, like nasty.
Yes, very. So, especially that last round.
Yeah, I think Friday and Sunday were nasty. So Whaley's cheap at if you want to take a gamble there. Like, there's a few guys, if you have serious questions, come in the chat and ask, and we can spitball some stuff. And I guarantee you Dyer's got like four models out already trying to figure it out. So we'll spitball some stuff there. All right, let's recap it, Jesse. 10K and above, who you got?
It's Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, it's a Spieth for sure. 9K range. I'll give you two because it's loaded.
I'm going to say Connors and Tringale.
I'm going to go with Answer and Palmer. But I'm going to try to find a way to build with three guys here, but it might make nasty down below. 8K range, go with two.
Lonto and Kirk.
I go Lonto and Burns. That's where I'm at. 7,500 or 79, go for one.
Brandon Grace.
Yeah, I'll go Brandon Grace as well. This is like, usually I try to make different picks to make it different, but this is how bad it is, people. Like 7K to 7,400, I'll give you one.
Vegas.
Yeah, that's probably where I was leaning. I'll go Sam Ryder. I'll mix it up there and go Sam Ryder. And then your 6K punt of choice.
Chapel.
I'll take Whaley. If I'm going to punt, I'll punt. Give me Whaley. See what happens. If you're building a cash lineup this week, I pray for you. So we're just gonna skip that. Like, I can't even think about a cash lineup with these guys right now. GPP, three guys to start a GPP lineup out with.
Jordan Spieth, obviously. He's going to be on there for sure. A guy kind of – man, it kind of makes it tough, obviously, too. Putnam at 76, and then Sam Ryder at 74.
I'll go with Spieth, Answer, and Ryder is what I had down. So Spieth, Answer, and Ryder, and plan on playing the Texas Driving Range Pro. I can't wait to roster him and watch him go four over in the first four holes or something. It's going to be so much fun. But bets to win this week. Spieth's 10-1, which is crazy to see him back up top, but probably deservedly so. See, this is where DK pricing into the odds market changes. Tringali's 33-1. He's like the 16th best odds, which is interesting. Burns is higher. What do you like here?
Yeah, in my opinion, like, it's a good week to completely overextend yourself and bet Jordan Spieth to win.
Yeah, 10-1. He is the heavy favorite for a reason. If you want to get weird, I'm just looking at guys down here.
What's the answer?
Answer is 18, so I don't hate that either. He's coming through one of these days. He's really going to get one. It's going to be fun. I think Lanto at 50 is intriguing because I his game, if he can
see that,
he can run here and have some fun. So I think he's interesting. I'm just kind of scrolling through prices here. It could be a week where if the big dogs just slip up at all, you could see a long shot coming through here because it's like Sam Ryder at 80. I could see making a run.
Yeah, but 80 for Sam Ryder, man.
That should, but that tells you where we're at.
Should be doubled.
Yeah, it just tells you where. Like, RCB's at 150, but he's playing bad. Like, Campos is 150. Patrick Rogers is 150. There you go. But, yeah, there's some long shots here. Like usual, I'm a broken record, but play 20 top 20 plays or something. Save yourself some stress. But
it's a good week to kind of just lay back a little bit and get ready for the best tournament of the year next week.
Yep, the Masters is coming up. Even Dom Walton said that in the chat. He said, yeah, I'll play a little bit this week, but he's been studying for like 2 weeks in that chat for the Masters. So don't blame him at all. It's going to be a fun one coming up, Jesse. Fun one.
For sure.
For sure. But any closing thoughts for this one?
I don't. Good luck.
All right, everybody. Good luck to all. It is the Valero Texas Open Preview in the books. You can check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BD and Trick the Podcast at Always Press DFS. We'll be back with you guys next week. Again, rate, review on iTunes for the podcast. Like it on YouTube. We'd appreciate it. See you guys next time.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.